Capitol Report is a production of Senate Media Services.
On this week's program, the caucuses have chosen new leaders for the Senate, and we introduce you to the incoming majority and minority leaders. Plus, the large, newly elected class of senators comes to the Capitol to learn about their new jobs. Stay tuned for this week's Capitol Report. Welcome to this week's program. I'm Shannon Lurkey. As a result of the midterm election, the DFL will control the Senate with a one-vote majority, 34 to 33. Last week, the newly elected and re-elected DFLers gathered to begin organizing themselves for the 2023 legislative session, including electing a majority leader, president of the Senate, and chairs of the Tax and Finance Committees.
I have the honor and privilege to be the new Senate Majority Leader. I take that role very seriously. I take it seriously and with great dedication to the state and to my colleagues to make this work. We were given the trifecta, and we are here to show that we are ready to lead.
One of the reasons why I want to be president, one is because I believe I have the skills and qualifications by which to navigate the rules and tradition and balance that with how do we make sure that we're having a robust discussion on our Senate floor to benefit Minnesotans. So that is to make sure that there are guiding principles that can lead our caucus, but also the minority as well, because I believe important, robust discussion includes all of us. And even though I have the skills and qualifications, it was not lost on me that Minnesota has never had a Senate president of color.
I will be serving as his partner, the Senate President Pro Tem. I'll be very active on the floor, helping members with their bills and understanding the rules. We have very many new members, and we want to make sure when they go to the floor that they're going to be well prepared in presenting their bills. In addition, I've served on the Tax Committee in both the House and the Senate for decades, actually, 4 years in the House as the Tax Chair, and now after 20 years in the Senate, I will be the Tax Chair.
I'm honored to be selected by the caucus to chair the Senate Finance Committee, which I've served on for a number of years, and I'm excited. I think we can put together a good budget that reflects the values of the people of Minnesota and is going to serve the people of Minnesota well, and intend to include the entire Senate, the entire caucus, everybody involved in this. And as both Leader Dietzick and President Champion said, we do have a very diverse caucus, and I'm very excited to be working with them.
Joining me now in the studio is the new Senate Majority Leader, Senator Carrie Dietzick. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me here.
First off, congratulations on your election to become the Senate Majority Leader. You were elected to the Senate in 2012 following a special election to replace Senator Larry Pogemiller, who was the Majority Leader from 2007 to 2011. Is there something in the water in your area of Minneapolis?
I don't know if there's something in the water, but you know, both Larry and I grew up in an area where there was a strong work ethic. It was a very working class family area, middle class family area, and we were both, it's an area where public service is important to everybody. Everybody gets involved in helping the community, and we had a lot of civic pride. And so I think it runs deep in Northeast and Southeast Minneapolis.
What was your appeal to the caucus? Why do you think they chose you as their leader?
You know, we had a good discussion. We had a very lots of questions on what we want to see happen. And, you know, we had great candidates and great conversations with our neighbors at the door. And we heard a lot from Minnesotans. We heard that they want us to get our job done, that we have a lot of issues facing us, from people who can't afford rent. More people are going to the food shelves. People can't find childcare. They can't afford childcare. They want us to get things done. And Minnesotans want help. And we are ready to lead, and we are ready to step up and help Minnesotans, and we're just excited to do that.
You noted in a recent press conference that the Senate DFL caucus is now the most diverse in history. You have 14 new members. 11 of those new members are women. Now the Senate DFL caucus is majority female, 19 women to 15 men. What does all of this mean?
It's pretty exciting. is very exciting. And it gets back to where, you know, women were stepping up and more women are stepping up to do the job. Our caucus looks like the state of Minnesota. We have a very diverse caucus. We have senators from International Falls to Southern Minnesota. And we're just ready to lead. Everybody is excited. We want to get to work. We've heard our constituents, and we are going to continue to listen to them, work with them, work with the governor, work with the House, and get things done.
There's also historic diversity of backgrounds and experiences in the new DFL caucus, but your majority is only one single vote. That means that any new policy or budget proposals either need united caucus support or you need to have bipartisan support. Will this be a challenge? Does it mean that the scope of accomplishments may be narrower than people might think?
When we were elected in the trifecta in 2013-14, we did all-day kindergarten, we passed medical cannabis, and we did the freedom to marry. So we know we can get things done. We know we have that slim majority. We also know that there are so many things we agree on, and there's so many things we want to get done for the state of Minnesota, that we're going to have open and transparent conversations with each other, with our communities, but we're ready to come to work and lead and do things for Minnesotans.
The last time that Minnesota had the so-called trifecta, meaning that the legislature and the governor's office are all the same party, and it was the DFL, was back in 2013-14. Before that, it was the late 1980s. So it is kind of a rare thing. What do you think the voters are saying?
They told us they want us to get our job done. They are tired of gridlock. They want stability. They want civility. They want to have those thoughtful conversations. And there's issues that are facing us. From, you know, the kids have had a hard time going to school in COVID the last few years. We have the lowest counselor ratio in the state. We have special education funding deficits. There's work that we need to do. And we're ready to get here, get the work done, and help Minnesotans.
What will your leadership style be like? Are you a collaborator? Are you a deal maker? Do you like the big picture? Do you like the details? Like, what are you going to look like in leadership?
I like to get things done. And I think we all are coming here. We want to get things done. All of the senators were sent here and elected to get things done. And so I look forward to working with all of them. Learning more of what they need in their community, and again, finding what can we agree on. I think there's a lot that we can agree on to move forward for Minnesota, so I look forward to working with all of them to get the job done.
You are the next generation of a political legacy in Northeast Minneapolis. Your father, Walt, was a police officer and then Minneapolis City Council for 22 years and then Park Board for 12 years. Before running for the Senate, you worked for the late Senator Paul Wellstone, whom you often quote. How might your history that is steeped in the city and the state inform your leadership of the Senate?
So my dad was very active in the community. My family was very active in the community. We grew up being active in the community. I also had an uncle, great uncle, who was mayor of St. Cloud, another great uncle who was a sheriff in Monoma County. So public service is embedded in my family. We believe in that. We want to help people. I was telling the story that my dad used to make us do Meals on Wheels before there was Meals on Wheels. We would deliver meals and Easter lilies to families at Easter time. We didn't want to do it. We were going into the public high-rise buildings. You know, we had other things to do. We were young kids. We didn't want to do it, but he made us do it. And it showed us that, you know, families can struggle and that we should be grateful for what we have, because no matter how bad we feel at that moment, somebody else is having a harder day. And it showed me that little things mattered, because they so appreciated when we came to the door to bring them, you know, sometimes it was just coffee and these flowers, but it made their day. So it showed me little things mattered, and that to take time out of the day to help people. And that, again, instills the public spirit and the public service in me. And I often quote my former boss and say, we all do better when we all do better. And I think that also means the Senate, too. So when the Minnesota Senate does better, Minnesota does better. And we all want to help Minnesotans. It shouldn't matter where you live. every Minnesotan should have the opportunity to succeed. And I think that spirit of helping others isn't just helping others across Minnesotans, it's helping the Senate be better. And I think we can do better, because when we all do better, we all do better.
And so with that said, with your one vote majority, will you reach across the aisle? Will you still try to bring the Republicans along on some of the proposals, the legislative ideas in the coming session?
I think, you know, we had some agreement last year at the end of session, and unfortunately they weren't passed, so I think we'll kind of look at those. Sometimes we pass more bills. They're just not the sexy bills, but we do pass bills, and we're all sent here to help our constituents. And so, you know, we have some things in the DFL that we ran on that we are going to move forward with, from choice, starting with choice. Voters sent us here. That was a big, clear issue. So we're going to lead on those issues, but, you know, I think it's going to be a collaboration, because all of us want to help Minnesotans.
Is there going to be any difficulty with the presumably rather large budget surplus that we have in terms of how to go forward, or do you think that's going to resolve itself over time?
I think it'll give us an opportunity to have some great conversations on how do we best help Minnesotans.
Senate Majority Leader Carrie Dietzick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Four freshman senators-elect spent a day and a half at the Capitol this week for new member orientation. The incoming lawmakers spent time learning about the institution and the process. I spoke with a few of them, and I began by asking what excites them about becoming a senator.
Getting to work with a lot of my colleagues from the House that are coming across the hall, coming across the tracks to this side. Many of us have good working relationships already.
We all come to this with our own viewpoints and sort of our things that we're passionate about, but the sense really of being a collaborative body of working together, working across the aisle, hopefully to get some things done for the community, but also for the state as a whole.
I think, you know, the opportunity to work together, work with folks in the House, I think excites me to solve some big problems. You know, we've got some big challenges, so that sort of is one of the things that excites me.
So much excites me, but the fact that I'll be able to carry things that are meaningful to not only the people in my district, but the state of Minnesota, and get to be part of that process of things that hopefully improve their lives.
I'm really excited about our committee makeups and maybe having an opportunity to get a little bit more robust work done, since I'm one of 67 and not one of 134.
You've been inundated with information these last few days. Maybe it's a little early in the process yet, but what do you think may be some of your key takeaways from this orientation experience?
That I'm going to have to wear a tie every day. That's the jovial one, I suppose. But the key takeaway is that staff really is here to make our lives easier, better, make us the best legislators we possibly can.
Relationships matter, and I think getting to know not only all of the freshmen, but all of the incumbents who are returning as well. We can't get anything done unless we work together.
Working with the desk on, you know, introducing bills, amendments, working with council on drafting that legislation, the deadlines. I mean, there's a lot of logistics that goes into legislating.
That the Senate is not the House. I think that was reiterated over and over again, but I think it'll just be kind of a learning curve about the customs and traditions of this body and of this chamber. And I'm really excited to learn from people who've been here before. And also, I think, you know, there are a lot of new members of both Republican and DFL party coming in. And so I think the culture will change with us as well.
I think the biggest thing is the importance of staff, especially for a new senator like myself, you know, having highly qualified people to guide me through the process and make sure that things don't slip through the cracks.
Driving up to the Capitol for the first time yesterday and seeing that and thinking, I'm going to work there today. And, you know, I hopefully retain that feeling every time I drive up to the Capitol.
You're among a very impressive class of 24 incoming lawmakers. What, from your own personal background, do you think will be your contribution to the Senate?
Well, as a, you know, a 20-plus year teacher, I'll be able to contribute a lot of that background knowledge and education, hopefully, and growing up in a mining area, being able to bring that perspective about the value of mining to Minnesota.
I have some experience in the U.S. Senate working in a federal agency and running a healthcare foundation, so I'm kind of a master of none, and I know a lot about, you know, many, or a little bit about a lot.
I'm one of the few veterans. I'm one of the few people still actively serving in the military. We haven't found any in the past, but one of two meteorologists for the first time ever elected, so we've got our environmental issues covered. I am also a foster parent, which to my knowledge, no one else is. So I have a deep background in advocacy with children.
I come in as a reproductive rights, health, and justice champion and advocate at a time when reproductive rights are being threatened across the country, Roe v. Wade obviously being overturned. I'm also one of the first black women elected to the Minnesota Senate and the first out lesbian, so those life experiences will certainly serve me as well. And I'm trying to end childhood hunger.
I'm hoping that my contribution can be expanding transparency and accountability. That's been a key theme of mine ever since I was first elected in 2016.
And I'm a family law attorney and a mediator, and so I certainly gravitate maybe towards those sorts of issues. But I'm also concerned about things about healthcare, gun violence prevention, the environment, a wide range of issues that I certainly can't be expert on, but look forward to working with my colleagues on.
The 2022 midterm election has prompted changes in the Minnesota Senate, both in the leadership of the chamber itself and in caucus leadership. The Senate Republicans announced their new leader at a press conference last week.
I have the honor of introducing myself. I'm Mark Johnson, newly elected Republican Senate caucus leader today. I am flanked by some of my colleagues who are also been elected to Senate leadership. In that capacity. So we have Senator Bill Weber, Senator Karen Housley, Senator Justin Eichhorn, and Senator Coleman. We have really spent a lot of time here today going through what we believe is going to be a great session, organizing our caucus to prepare for a new role in the Minnesota State Senate. So we have a number of things that we want to discuss going forward. But a lot of our priorities are what we went out and we door knocked and we were talking to people. That's about getting the surplus back to Minnesotans. Minnesotans pay those taxes. Let's get that money back to Minnesotans. It's also about public safety. How do we make people feel safer? Mom's going to the store. Dad's going to work. How do we make them feel safer? We also want parent and student success. That's a priority for us, and we are dedicated to ensuring that we do our part in making sure that the bills coming through the Senate reflect those priorities.
Joining me is the newly elected leader of the Senate Republican Caucus, Mark Johnson. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Congratulations on your election to lead the Senate Republican Caucus. What prompted you to throw your hat in the ring?
Well, thank you. And first of all, thank you for letting me be on today again, too. It's always an honor to be here. And so what prompted me to do that was there was Senator Miller had really wanted to step back from leadership. Once there was a change in who the majority was going to be taking over control in the Senate, he said, I just want to take a step back, spend a little bit more time with family and do some things within the district. So. It's something that I've had an interest in for a while, but I wasn't going to be pushing or trying to get to that position. It opened up, and in all caucuses, there's an opportunity to run for those positions. So I threw my name into the hat because I think we've learned a few things through this last election. There's ways that we can be working differently, not only within our caucus, but also with the other caucuses, with just state organizations in general, that we should be making some changes. And I've got some ideas, I got some things that I would really like to see happen within our party and so on. And so it's an opportunity to lead that effort. And so, threw my name into the hat, people like the vision that I portrayed within that, and so we'll move forward now.
Well, so that said, you were first elected to the Senate in 2016, and last session you were the Deputy Majority Leader. Why do you think you mentioned the vision that you proposed to your caucus? Can you elaborate on why you think they chose you?
Sure. Well, it's a lot about building trust. Within politics,
Now, you see it on TV where they're always fighting. You know, they always highlight the times when you can't agree. But what you really need to be doing is building those relationships, building that trust, showing some leadership, showing the ability to do that job. And I hope over the last 6 years, I've built that trust with the members of my caucus and also the incoming new members. They've seen what we've been doing, seen the work that we've been doing. They like the direction that we proposed. So if they trust you, if they like you, they have the relationship with you, it's easier to maybe agree with the ideas and things that you may have. So I worked really hard on building that over the last 6 years, and I think it paid off. And hopefully, I mean, this is just the beginning. Now I've got to actually put those ideas into action, and that's when the work really begins.
The Senate Republican Caucus has a history of promoting women to leadership positions. Your caucus was the first in state legislative history to promote women to roles like majority leader, president, finance chair, and tax chair. Due to retirements and the results of this election, your caucus now has only 3 women, 2 of which will be on your leadership team. What message are you sending to Minnesotans?
Well, I hope what Minnesotans are seeing is that the Minnesota Senate Republicans aren't looking for men or women or you know, just that dynamic. What we're looking for is people who can step up and take those roles. The women that we've had in our caucus have been tremendous. You know, you think of Karen Housley and Julia Coleman and the work that they've done over this election cycle. We're losing Julie Rosen, who's been just a phenomenal senator. You know, think of the things such as the Viking Stadium. You know, there's also been the opioid things that she's been working on. I mean, just a legend within. They have shown over and over and over the capability and the perspective that they bring. It's what we need in the Senate, and we want to make sure, you know, and our members recognize that. That's why we elect them over and over again to leadership positions, because, you know, this is a 50-50 partnership. We got to figure out how to move forward, and they've been so critical in each one of those steps.
How would you describe your leadership style? Are you a collaborator? Are you a deal maker? How do you plan to lead your caucus? What's your vision for your particular leadership style?
Sure. And so what I really like about the legislature that I didn't realize that I would like is the idea of, you know, where an executive branch position is, you are kind of commanding, here's what's going to happen, here's how it's going to work. But legislature is all about committees, right? It's, you know, we have a caucus, we've got our different committees that we have. Everything's kind of formed around consensus. And so I love that aspect of it. I love taking an idea and saying, here's what we're going to do. Let's brainstorm this for a little bit. And making a decision from the group where we have buy-in, we have compromise, we have change to the ideas, that's what I really, really like to do. I envision that being more of the leadership style, but being at the first couple of days of this, we'll find out what it looks like.
Okay. The DFL has only a 1-vote majority, and when you joined the Senate, the same was true in reverse. Your caucus, the Republican caucus, had just a 1-vote majority. With that knowledge, how will you approach this session?
So this is going to be interesting, the dynamics, because now we'll be able to sit on the other side and look and kind of know what's going on over there as far as trying to get consensus over especially some of the more risky ideas that they might have or controversial ideas. And the thing that we had that I was very proud of, our Senate leader at the time, Paul Gazelka, was very much able to pull people together. Same with Senator Miller when he was majority leader as well. And you know, we had people from all over the states, different ideas, but we really had a consensus, a real mission within the caucus that I felt was very, very much like family, and we tried to reach a decision as a group, and we had to at 34. It seems to me from the outside, not knowing what's going on in the DFL caucus, they might have a little bit more animosity, a little bit more turbulence within that caucus. So they'll have maybe some opportunities where Republicans will have some real influence in the policies that they're trying to propose and put forward. So that's one of the differences I think we're going to be seeing between our majority and now the DFL majority.
2 giants of the Senate are leaving. One of them you already referenced, Senator Julie Rosen and Senator David Senjum, and I've had them both on the program for exit interviews. Both in those exit interviews spoke to me of the importance of building relationships, of inviting other lawmakers, regardless of party, into one's office and working across the aisle. Is this good advice?
Oh, just terrible advice. No, it's absolutely, absolutely advice. I mean, we just had freshman orientation this morning, and that was the thing. Both Senator Franzen and now Senate Majority Leader Dietzick, they really harped on, and that's one of the messages that I wanted to bring forward to them as well when I spoke to them, was making sure that you are, you know, we might be on different sides of the aisle, but we can still work together. We're not enemies, you know, we're just opponents in many ways. And so it's interesting you mention a couple of those folks that are leaving, David Senjum and Julie Rosen. You know, when we were doing the calculation, just on the Republican side, that were caucusing the Republicans in the last year, 176 years of experience walked out the door this session. And that's not even including the Democrats that have left. You know, you think of all the institutional knowledge that turned over in this last time. I mean, it's scary, but we have to realize we've got to build those relationships. That was the 176 years, I think every one of those senators that are leaving with that experience will say the exact same thing. Build those relationships, get to know those people, because that's the key of legislating in this place.
So here you are with this leadership role and some institutional knowledge, 6 years worth. You grew up in your district, you moved away and then you came back. You are married with three children, you have a law degree, and you run two small businesses. So what do you do with whatever little spare time is left at the end of the day?
Well, this has really been a passion and love. This is something that we have, the politics side of things, is something that you know, we've just made a commitment to as a family and said, okay, we're gonna practice law, we're gonna do the concrete construction stuff you know, during the summertime, but really focus onto this during the wintertime. But you know, we, as a family, we do the things that all families do. You know, the kids are out playing on the sleds right now in the snow up north and going to school, and we make it back home. The Senate has been very family friendly in that regard too. So we've been able to enjoy both being part of the policy and the politics in Minnesota and also be just a normal everyday family too. So
Minority Leader elect, soon to be Senate Minority Leader Mark Johnson, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
According to the Duluth News Tribune, Minnesota was once again a national leader in voter turnout in the 2022 election, with an estimated 60.66% of eligible voters participating. Senate Chief Photographer A.J. Olmscheid spent some time capturing images of Minnesotans exercising their right to vote. Join us again next week as we delve into more topics affecting Minnesotans. I'm Shannon Lurkey, and on behalf of all of us at Senate Media Services, thanks for watching.